2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America, but this story is still unfolding. I'm Andreas Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at kslpodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
Good morning. Thank you for joining us for the KSL Greenhouse Show this morning. Maria Chalaios, Tom Bettis with you. We are coming to you from Rocktop Services in Springville. We hope you come out and see us this morning for their grand opening. They're already open and ready to help you. Let's go to our phone lines. Debbie is waiting in Sandy. And good morning, Debbie. What is your question?
Hello.
Good morning, Debbie.
Good morning. My question is, I have about a 20-year-old non-fruit-bearing mulberry tree, and it requires pruning about every couple years because it's just a very big, beautiful tree. This last fall, it was pruned, and I've noticed this winter moss growing on the trunk, and I'm wondering if there's any danger to the tree.
No. The moss, is it on the north or east side of the tree?
It is on, actually, the north.
Okay. And it is moss and not mushrooms.
No, I believe it's moss.
Okay. It's just because on the north side of the tree, there's less wind and less exposure to some of the elements. And so in situations where you have the trunk fairly protected, it's quite common for moss to start growing on the north and east sides of trunks.
Okay.
So it's common? No. Does it hurt the tree?
No, it doesn't harm the tree at all. And it's one of those things you want to keep an eye on a little bit. But it's just there living on the tree but not harming it.
You can't wash it off, or you shouldn't wash it off.
You can. You could get a potato scrub brush and scrub it off. But there's not a reason to.
Okay. The other question I have with regard to this tree is a company that was recommended by Rocky Mountain Power came and put some sort of treatment on the tree that is supposed to slow down the growth. And they assured me that there would be no harm to the tree. Are you familiar with that process?
I cannot remember the name of the product, but I am familiar with it. And when you look at the label, there are some precautions listed that the tree needs to be well watered and healthy. And generally, it doesn't harm anything. What it's supposed to do is prevent new branch growth from elongating as far. So it requires less pruning as you go, through the next few years after that product's applied. But I've seen a few situations, and they've been isolated to where it was applied to a stressed tree and the trees took a lot of damage.
Okay. So just watch it. Just keep an eye on it.
Yep, watch it and keep an eye on it. That's all you can do.
Okay, thank you so very much. Have a good
day. All right. Debbie, thanks so much for your call this morning. Next listener, Ton, this is a new one for me. They say they've heard that Disneyland uses distressed bird sounds to keep the birds away in the park, and they want to know if that would work for them or how that would work for them in their fruit trees.
Well, I was...
First of all, I'm having a hard time with the Disneyland thing. It's a happy place.
Well, I wonder if it's like panicked Donald Duck sounds.
Terrible.
That is a bad joke. In orchard areas, it's really common in portions of the United States for orchards to actually set up a kind of a waterproof outdoor PA system. And they play distressed or panicked bird calls. What will happen is that even multiple species will hear those, and it keeps the birds from flying in and feeding on the fruit. Mm-hmm. And it's funny because the farther away you get from the speakers, the more damage that you see on the fruit. So it can work. But I'm not sure that Disneyland would do that, because the distressed bird sounds are pretty annoying. It's not like they're just Disney style songbirds.
Like the happiest place on earth kind of thing.
No, it's the sounds you hear when the birds see an owl or a falcon coming in to hunt them.
Oh.
So it's,
and that sounds really stressful for me.
Yes.
I don't think I want those sounds in my yard. But I guess if you had an orchard or some place where you weren't just out sitting in the, you know, in your yard,
yeah,
that could work, right?
It can work really well, except you may annoy the neighbors because it has to be loud enough for the birds to hear it. And therefore, if you're in a smaller neighborhood that has houses closer together, you have neighbors that may become a little bit upset having to hear these distressed bird calls all day long. You know, and like I said, this is not songbirds. It's, if you've ever heard panicked birds, that's what
I'm
it sounds like.
I'm imagining how terrible that sounds.
And so this would just be like the IRS's version of Disneyland, where they've got some bird sounds. It's just the wrong ones. So,
okay, don't want to do that. Is there another option for folks if they really are having problems with birds feeding
for
on their fruit?
For hobby orchards, for, you know, 5-6 trees, 10 trees, the distressed bird calls are not going to be practical because I just think you'll make the neighborhood mad.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's another similar solution to where you can get a machine that fires shotgun blanks every 15 or 20 minutes. But again, neighbors are probably not going to be pleased with that. And so for homeowners, we have to resort to netting, which it's pretty hard to net a tree. I'll admit that. And then watching the fruit and as it ripens, being out there as soon as you can to pick it so that you can minimize the bird damage in there.
Why can't they just pick one piece of fruit? Why do they have to take a bite out of every one?
Bite,
right?
Out of every one. You know, in cherries, if you grow the yellow cherries like Royal Anne, the yellow cherries are fed on less by birds because of their yellow color. The birds perceive the red as being ripe and not the yellow. So that's one thing. But you know, in the peaches and things, netting is going to be one of your best bets. Or if you're in an open area that you have neighbors far away, if you can find some distressed bird calls on a CD or something, you would have to play those from sunup to sundown, from the time those peaches are starting to go yellow and orange into red until you pick them. And so it would be a 2-week period at least that you're playing that all day, every day.
Okay, we are up against a break, but I want to do a quick check-in with Bart. And good morning, Bart. What's going on in your world?
Folks, how are you?
Doing well, thanks. What's happening?
Well, I'm glad to hear that. Terrible Ton, is he well?
Oh, he's always well.
All right, I've got a question for him about tomatoes, and then I got a comment about grafting. But last week he mentioned a tomato variety, mm-hmm, from Johnny's, and I looked them up and I find 4 of them with numbers on them. Which one is the one? I always try a new tomato every year, and I thought I'd try this one.
Now, Bart, I will put this up front that it's a commercial tomato, and it is one intended for the Middle South.
But right, I saw that.
Yes, and so its flavor is almost as good as Celebrity, which to a lot of people isn't saying a lot compared to all the tomatoes out there, but it doesn't crack and it doesn't get the coring in it.
The thing I like is not the cracking, and I don't like the cores in other tomatoes, so I stay away from them.
Yes,
in fact,
and
that's
this
what
one,
I bred out of Bart's Best.
Yeah, and so in this one, I grew it for 4 or 5 years, and Jake Harwood is still growing it,
and
it just
number?
Doesn't get coring. 1021.
1021, I got it.
Yep.
All right.
Yeah, another
then
one.
I got a
that's
comment about grafting.
Okay, go ahead.
You get into grafting a little bit, but taking the scion wood is probably most important, locating the variety you want. Now, I've already had a request for my Asian pear scion wood, and I've got some. But yet they got to consider, whenever there's heavy pruning, you produce a lot of scion wood. You don't prune, you don't get a lot of scion wood, so sometimes the variety you want, you can't get because there was no pruning done. And it's hard to find suitable scion wood. Scion wood is that wood which was produced last year. And generally, it suckers that you're going to get rid of anyway. It needs to be collected in February.
All right, Bart, it's good to hear from you. It's time for us to take a break. We are coming to you from Rocktop Surfaces, Utah's premium countertops and flooring provider. Dave Jones, the manager here in Springville, is with us this morning. And, Dave, I mean, selection has to be one of your big selling points.
It is, very much so. We try to get a little bit of everything because sometimes different manufacturers, they have, like carpet, for instance, something will – it all looks the same. Maybe the colors are different, but the styles are kind of the same. So we try to find a little bit, something a little bit unique, something a little bit attractive, mm-hmm. you know, and kind of go that route. And definitely with countertops, we have, there's so many selections that we have. And hard surface flooring, waterproof flooring, we have hardwood, we have so many different options, tile. Yeah, we try and have everything, but we don't want to overkill people with too much information and too many samples. They can get overwhelmed by so many choices, so we try and be precise in what we choose.
Right. So not just selection. Price is also a key point. Yeah. People have been hearing, oh, supply shortages, prices are going up. What do you offer?
No, and they do, and we do have really good pricing, and it is it's just the times. You know, we've had several price increases over the last several months, and it just, yeah, if you wait, it's just going to go up. You think, oh, I'm going to do this in June. Prices are going to be more expensive than they are now.
And yeah, so, we had to replace a furnace, and they said, and we couldn't decide if we should do furnace and air conditioner. Yeah. Like, well, if you're going to do both soon, you better do the both now. And so you're facing right. Kind of that same thing.
We are, and that's part of the stocking program. We kind of anticipated we were going to have difficulties in getting product here, and so we brought in a lot of product ahead of time, so that we don't have to worry about product that's on the water, we're waiting for it and so forth, which we don't know when it'll be here. You know, so that's one of the benefits of what we have. We anticipated that, and we bought accordingly, and we're doing our best to keep ahead of demand.
Right. Do you work with contractors, or are you just individual buyers?
Yeah, no, we do. We have contractors. We do a lot of work with interior designers. And then the homeowner. That's kind of our strength is with the homeowner. And so forth. So that's what we're...
Yeah, so homeowners, they always want to take on big projects, which means they need a little bit more money than usually they have in their savings account. What do you have as far as financing goes?
Yeah, good point. We have 12 months no interest and other options for financing that people can come in and just sign up for, and we can help them with that too.
Okay, tell us about the special drawing. That's really an enticement here for your grand opening.
It is. It's really exciting, and we haven't done this before, so it's a $2,500 gift card towards any purchase that they have for product that we sell, whether it's countertops or flooring. And so they just have to come into any of our stores, and they can just sign up, and they're good to go. And they don't have to. This raffle goes for several more weeks, so it doesn't. You know,
have
they
to
don't
do it
come
right
in,
this minute.
Right, right.
We're on just your Saturday morning. Right?
Right, right. Yeah, but we'd be glad if they did.
Right. You mentioned you have several locations.
Right. So we have it's a little bit unique. So Spanish Fork and the Springville locations are flooring and countertops, and then we have in Park City and in Sandy are countertops only. And then we have another location that's actually in Springville also, and that's where we fabricate the product. That's kind mm-hmm. of our corporate headquarters. So we fabricate it. We do everything, locally and in-house, so that keeps the price down also.
All right. We are at Rocktops. We are in Springville. It's the grand opening of this location. They're open now, so you don't have to wait till 10 o'clock like you do most stores, and it's nice and quiet, so it's a good time to come. We're going to take a break. The number to call with your questions, 801-575-8255. You can text us at 575.
I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.
Good morning. Thanks for joining us for the KSL Greenhouse, coming to you from the Springville location, the grand opening of Rocktop Surfaces. The plant of the week was the hackberry tree. Anton, you were telling us all about it, and I understand one of your horticulturist friends is kind of taking you to task for not saying how beautiful the tree is.
Yeah, Alex Grover is a very experienced arborist and horticulturist.
Alex, thanks for listening.
Yes, he... texted or messaged me saying that hackberry fruit actually tastes like dates if you eat it, but there's very little flesh. Mm. And then he also mentioned that they have quite nice yellow fall color. And when the leaves drop, they seem to drop fairly rapidly within a few days instead of holding, and you know, amidst some trees will hold leaves for a long period of time. And so another advantage is that you can just get them cleaned up and be done with it instead of having to wait 3 or 4 weeks for them to drop their leaves.
Well, those are a couple of advantages on my checklist. Easier to clean up and a beautiful fall color.
Yes, and so that is nice about them. But their big advantage is that they are so adapted to the Wasatch Front and that they just tolerate our soils quite well.
Okay. Our next listener, Ton, says they have 3 really young flowering crabapple trees, about half-inch thick trunk. When is the best time to move them?
As soon as they can dig. They would need to go out, and it doesn't really say how long they've been in, but they need to go on the outside of the root balls from where they were originally planted and dig them and just carefully lift them, and they may need to put them on top of a tarp and wrap it up a little bit and move them to their new home. But any time, they could do it now if they can dig, but as soon as the soil thaws.
Well, some areas they might be able to. What a strange winter.
Really, it has been. You know, all those heavy storms, and now just sunny.
So I'm thinking, like, in this location right now, the soil might be so you can dig.
Yeah, and take a shovel out and see what you can do. And if you need to wait, sometime between mid-February and mid-March.
Yeah, this is really the time of year where you can't do a whole lot in your yard except maybe some cleanup. But you even mentioned to someone last week that they could go out and plant the bulbs that they didn't have time to plant. So if you can dig, you can do some of those things that you didn't have time to do.
And with the snow off in most areas, if you wanted to take out a leaf blower or something and do some of that, it's a great day to do that as long as you're not too impacted by the inversion.
We're going to take a break for the top of the hour news. Remember, you can always go to the KSL Greenhouse Facebook page and find more information on the topics that we have been discussing. So let's take a break. Give us a call when we come back. KSL is 801-575-8255-500.
Two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent, it was senseless, and I will never understand it, I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.